Welcome to Rights Watch, a program about human rights around the world from Human Rights Watch. Rebels in Libya are advancing on the capital, threatening a siege of Tripoli. The UN plans to evacuate foreigners by sea. 24 hours before rebels took control of roads to the Tunisian border, a Human Rights Watch team drove out of the country, following an unprecedented research mission to government-held areas. Fred Abrahams led the team.
Since February, we've been covering the armed conflict from the rebel-held side and documenting government abuses in places like Benghazi in the east and Misrata in the western mountains. We have been denied access to the government-held territories in Tripoli and the west. So this trip was significant as the first time an independent human rights organization had access to the government-held areas. And we were able to move with great restrictions. We had a government minder with us the whole time, and clearly in a government-set agenda. So it was far from the perfect scenario of an independent human rights investigation. We knew those restrictions were going to be in place, but we decided it was worth getting in and trying to see what was possible, get a sense of it, and do as much as we could within those restrictions, under no illusions that the government would show us what they wanted us to see. And the research had two main prongs. One was looking at NATO attacks and civilian deaths, and the other was looking at violations by the government, in particular arrests, detentions, torture, and disappearances by the government authorities. The government clearly tried to put on its best face about NATO abuses, meaning the sites looked to us in some cases doctored. We saw little baby bottles strategically placed in different homes and medicines scattered about. At the same time, some of them did raise serious questions. I think we are quite confident that in some of these strikes, civilians did die. Now, whether those were unlawful deaths, in other words, whether NATO was targeting a military object or facility or not, the onus is on NATO to justify the strikes in which, on the surface, the target appeared to be civilians. Unfortunately, this conflict has been marked by serious violations by all sides. But clearly, I think so far our documentation, the greatest extent of the violations have been on the government side, which means indiscriminate attacks in civilian areas. It means widespread arrests and disappearances, the use of torture. But that doesn't mean that the rebel side hasn't committed violations as well.
It was a surprise, Abraham says. How much has changed in Libya just in the past week?
When we were in Tripoli, there was a sense of stalemate with the front line frozen in the east around Brega and the rebels also locked into positions around the western mountains. And I felt that there was a certain momentum on the side of the government. One of the rebel commander, Yunus, had just been killed. There were some divisions emerging within the alliance, people suggesting maybe Gaddafi could walk free from his ICC arrest warrant. So the government felt like it had a bit of momentum, and that changed very quickly. We left last Thursday, drove from Tripoli westward to the border with Tunisia through the town of Zawiya, and on Friday, the day after we drove through Zawiya, the rebels approached the town and now appear to be in control of Zawiya and the western towns and other towns like Gharyan, a key town leading up until Tripoli. So the conflict switched very quickly. The rebels now seem to be having the momentum. And by all accounts, Tripoli is slowly getting encircled. And what this means for Muammar Gaddafi and the government remain unclear. 42 years, you do not survive 42 years without a high degree of savvy, resourcefulness, and political acumen. So the guy knows how to play, but militarily speaking, it looks like Tripoli is now in a much more precarious position. Where it goes from here is unclear.
The siege of Tripoli, if that's what it comes to, could be a long and bloody affair. And if Gaddafi does fall, Abraham says there will still be grave risks of human rights abuses.
There are two main concerns for the post-conflict environment if this does lead to Gaddafi's fall. One is the immediate danger of the revenge attacks rebels going after people who they believe have supported the government militarily or through other means. What in Benghazi they call the fifth column, you know, people they suspect of being Gaddafi spies. And we've documented cases of violence against those people. That's one issue. The other is the long-term challenge of building democratic institutions in a country like Libya that has been ruled for 42 years by one man. And Libya has no independent courts. It has no depoliticized police. It has no civil society, no independent media was banned, no political parties. You'll have to rebuild the political system from scratch. In its favor is this remarkable exuberance, this passion with which people rose up peacefully at first and then violently, but a passion to demand a better country, a country with more rights and more liberties. And I believe that that passion is, in many fronts, is genuine and will serve the country well as they try and rebuild.
A Libya without Gaddafi may also reveal fractures within the rebel movement.
Up until now, the opposition has been more or less a united front. I mean, there are divisions. And the killing recently of one of the rebel commander shows there are divisions. But more or less, there's this anti-Gaddafi front. That will change if and when Gaddafi leaves. And the opposition is full of different different factions, groups, and ideas, from Islamists to human rights lawyers. And that battle, the political battle, hopefully, and not a physical battle, to define the future Libya is going to be intense. Because it's one thing to struggle against someone like Muammar Gaddafi and very different to then start building a new country. And, you know, there'll have to be, I think, some sort of there'll be intense discussions on involving Islam, the tribes, and democratic institutions to sort of, work your way towards something that's an improvement after 42 years of dictatorship.
That was Fred Abrahams of Human Rights Watch. He's just returned from Libya. You can read more about Human Rights Watch's work on Libya on our website. That's hrw.org. And that's Rights Watch for this week. Human Rights Watch is an independent organization dedicated to defending and protecting human rights around the world. For more about us, visit hrw.org. Thanks for listening to Rights Watch. I'm Jesse Graham.